So we've been talking about choices, right? These last few weeks. I just want to give a shout out to Life Church there in the United States. They have helped us put this together. And so just want to say thank you to Life Church for that. But we're talking about choices. How many of you have ever walked through life or have had a season or a week or a day or whatever where you're just disappointed with life? Where you just feel like, how did I get here? I thought I would be somewhere different. Now, I'll be honest, I'm 41. When I graduated from Bible college back in 20 years ago in May, when I graduated 20 years ago from college to be a pastor, I never thought I'd be in Sweden, let alone a different place other than the United States. I just didn't. It wasn't before me. But yet God has brought me here. This decision is not one of those, I thought I'd be somewhere different. Why am I here, Lord? I love it here. I do. I don't like it right now because of all the ice. It's like, where's my snow? It's either let's have snow or let's just be gone. Right? Amen. Come on. Let's participate. Let's get a little yes in this morning. But sometimes I know I have had these thoughts. I thought life would be different. I thought I'd be somewhere else by now. I thought I'd have more in my retirement account. I thought I'd be a gentler parent. I thought I'd be nicer to my spouse. I thought I'd drive a better car. There you go, Bjorn. You got a few years ahead of you, Bjorn. I thought I would have accomplished more. Whether it's professionally, personally, I thought I would have stuck to my goals. I often have that, you know, Brandon, if you would have just stuck to that plan of riding your bike every few days each week, where would you be now? 6 months later, I have had those thoughts. Sometimes we make choices in life or decisions that take us places that we just don't really want to be, right? We realize, how did I get here? And then it goes, is this all there is? I've made all these choices. Is this all my life is destined to be? Guess what? It's not. It is not. All your life is destined to be. You may have made some wrong choices, choices that are just like small. They're not terrible. They're not like awful, bad decisions. You haven't killed somebody kind of decisions, but you've just gone over here when you thought your life would be over here. It's still it's a decent life, right? It's not terrible, but it's not the best life. It's not a life where you feel joy in the morning of waking up and go, man, this is the life that I've wanted. This is the life that I get to enjoy and be a part of. I thought I would feel better. And guess what? You can feel better. You can feel better. Is that bring some hope to somebody this morning that you can feel better? Can we say amen to that? Amen. So we're talking about choices. So let's review real fast, because there is more to life than just the kind of a mundane, like, I'm not really excited, but I guess I have to get up because I got to go to work because I got to do this, got to do that, to the we get to enjoy life. We get to live a fulfilled, full life. So let's review. Proverbs 16:3 says this, commit to the Lord whatever you do, then what? He will establish your plans, right? Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. We've been talking about the power of decisions, because our decisions, the direction of our life is determined by the quality of our decisions. Yeah? The direction of our life is determined by the quality of our decisions. And then we've also talked about how we make our decisions and what? Our decisions make us. Last week, a few weeks, we've talked about how our decisions are incredibly important. And yet sometimes, let's be honest, we are not the greatest decision makers. So this week, in all this, we've talked about pre-deciding. We've talked about temptation and how to avoid temptation, that we're going to pre-choose. We're going to predetermine what we're going to do when the temptation comes. Does anybody remember what we're going to do? We're going to run away, right? We're going to magnify the costs, yeah? And we're going to, as Derek said, we're going to move the line. There we go. We're moving the line, magnifying the cost, and we're running away from it. We're planning our escape. So this week, we're going to talk about this, Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Kind of goes along with Proverbs 16:3, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans." Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, then all of these things will be given to you. That portion of scripture, Jesus is talking about how we don't need to worry about in life and how we don't need to worry about the food that we eat and the clothes that we wear. Why? Because if we seek God first, he's going to care about those things. God doesn't just care about your job. God doesn't just care about your marriage. God doesn't just care about your kids. God doesn't just care about your soul. He cares about the practical, the food on the table, the clothes that we wear. Pastor Craig Groeschel said this: when we are devoted to God, when we are devoted to his kingdom, then all of those things you're searching for in life, those things that matter, those things that bring fulfillment, that make a difference, when you seek first, then God brings fulfillment to your life. So this morning, this is our mantra. I will seek first the one who matters most. I'm devoted to Jesus. I will seek first the one who matters most. I'm devoted to Jesus. Can we say that together? Yeah, repeat after me. I will seek first the one who matters most. I'm devoted to Jesus. Let's do that again. I will seek first the one who matters most, because I'm devoted to Jesus. Amen. So this morning, we're going to set in our minds that we've pre-decided before tomorrow comes that I will seek first the one who matters most, because I am devoted to Jesus. So then that begs the question, okay, what does devoted mean? What does it mean to be devoted to Jesus? Well, let's do some rewind here. Let's go back a few thousands of years and go back to the first initial people that said, hey, we're going to follow Jesus. The disciples, the day after Pentecost, in those days where the church began in Acts chapter 2. It says this about those folks that followed Jesus. It says they devoted themselves. So what does it mean to be devoted to Jesus? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So they were teaching what Jesus taught them, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So the earliest of believers, they devoted themselves to Jesus in the following ways. They heard the word of God. They were in the word. Now, they didn't have a Bible at all, but they had what the apostles got from Jesus. They had their teachings. So they were relying on the spoken word from the apostles to them. So they heard the word of God. Then what does it say? They fellowshipped. What does fellowship mean? We hang out, right? We hang out together. We're around each other. It's not just a one-off in our week. It's we're together throughout the week. Yeah? Yeah. So they fellowshipped together. Then they also broke bread, meaning they ate together. How many of you love to eat? I do. I really do. Food is good. And then lastly, it said they were devoted to prayer. So they had the word to be devoted to Jesus. It's the word. It's fellowshipping with each other. It's breaking bread together. So having meals, being a part of each other's life, and then prayer. Four things. Being together, being devoted to Jesus, isn't just about ourselves. It's about being a part of a community. It's about being around others together. And then if you read on in Acts chapter 2, I'm just going to flip there right now because I didn't put it down. If you read in Acts chapter 2, verse 43, it gives us the outcome, the results. Then it says in verse 43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. People were filled, the outsiders, those that were not a part of the believers, were filled with awe and wonder because they saw what was happening in this group of ragtag people that were devoting themselves to the teachings of Jesus. That they weren't just checking in one hour a week, but that they were hanging out together throughout the week. Throughout the week. Throughout the week. Everyone was filled with awe and wonder. See, this Greek word in here in verse 42, they devoted, that Greek word for devoted is an imperfect tense. Meaning, it's not just they devoted, it happened one time. It means they devoted as they continuously did it. It wasn't just a one and done kind of a thing. These folks following after Jesus were doing it day after day after day after day. They devoted themselves on Monday, and then they devoted themselves on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, and then on Thursday. It was a part of their life. It was a part of their DNA, who they were. They continually did it. It's an ongoing church. We have to have an ongoing pursuit of who Jesus Christ is. We cannot just settle with a Sunday, getting our bread on a Sunday and be satisfied for six more days. Because if you and I just ate only one time a week, every Sunday or whichever day you choose, how are you going to feel when it comes Monday? I can manage through this. I know hunger pains. But then when you get to Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, you're left with this gnawing, tearing feeling inside of you that goes, I'm just going to start filling myself with something because I am hungry. I'm desperate for food. And I read this story this week that this lady fell in love with this individual and decided to move in with this individual, meanwhile leaving their 7-year-old at home for 2 full years. Imagine the desperation of this young child trying to figure out what kind of food and how to have food. Someone we know was in a similar situation with a parent that was just not there because they were doing other things. And they learned, they saw through the habit of that parent that fish sticks were something that they could eat. But being a young child, they did not know how to operate the oven or even the microwave. So what did they do? They just ate the frozen fish sticks. Because they knew, okay, I can eat this. This is something I can eat because I've seen my parent prepare it for me before. How just, it's awful. It just rips you apart inside, doesn't it? To hear stories of kids that have to just do these kinds of things. To just be satisfied. But yet, so often, we as followers of Jesus are okay with doing the same thing, eating frozen fish sticks throughout the week because we're hungry and we need something, but we're not hanging out with Jesus because that's my one time a week thing. That's what I do on a Sunday. The rest of the week, I just eat what I want. The Bible says that He is our daily bread. that we need to be going to him on a daily basis. So we could look at this also, the scripture of Acts chapter 2, verse 42. If we look at it through maybe our modern way, try to think as a typical or a general and average Stockholmer, how would Acts chapter 2 look for us here in Stockholm? Well, I think it might read this. The modern Stockholm version might read of Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves to their own agenda. They continually and passionately pursued a self-centered life of comfort and ease. That kind of sounds about right for society, right? That in general, I'm not saying everybody, but in general, we are about our own agenda, pursuing a life of self-centeredness, of comfort and ease. Yeah? Yeah. Lucas, I forgot something. Behind you in that is my backpack. In my backpack is a ruler. I need that. Get the ruler. We often look at life and go, okay, I'm going to pre-decide what I'm going to do with my week. What event do I have? How much work do I need to get done? Who do I need to see? What friends have I not seen in a while? What family do I need to visit? How much gym time do I need? And then we go, okay, Jesus. Oh yeah, Sunday. Because we're pursuing our own agenda and we're all about what is comfortable and easy for us in ourselves. Hence the ruler. Because I realize this image is not the best image. But that image is this. I took a picture of this tombstock, this meter stick, right? Let's see if I can get it to stand. There. Guess how long it is? Anybody got really, 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 really fantastically good eyes? Stefan?
190.
Oh, no, not quite. Yes.
1 meter.
Oh, nope.
150.
150, nope. Getting closer, less than 185.
195.
Going once, going twice, sold for 195. No, it is 168 centimeters. 168. I thought about making one for everybody, but then I was just like, nah. What would you want to do with a ruler that's only 168? But this, I made this to give us a visual representation of our life. In a week, there are 168 hours in our life, or in our week. Some people's life, yes. Sadly. 168 hours in our week, okay? From Sunday at midnight to Saturday at 23:59, there are 168 hours in our week. And oftentimes, we look at our life and go, okay, what do I have time for? Well, what's the first thing we want to, but we often don't make time for? Yes, sleep. We all want to sleep. Then what do we have to make time for? Work. Yes, sleep. If your job was a mattress tester, that would be the best. But we all make time for what we have to do. So on average, so let's just say this. Let's say you and I, on average, I know it's not true, but on average, we sleep 7 hours a night. Rena's like, yeah, right. Try three. On average, let's just say, on average, we'll aim for 7 hours of sleep a night. That's 49 hours in a week, right? So that leaves us with 119 hours left. Then, after that, on average, we're supposed to work 8 hours a day. Yeah? Yes. So if we deduct our work week 40 hours, teachers, I know it's 45, but that saves you for your summer holiday. If we work our 40 hours a week, that reduces us down to what? 79 hours. Not too bad. That's just a little bit under half. Half of our life left, yeah? Now we're in Stockholm, right? So what do we have to do to get to work? Yeah, we got to commute. We got to travel. Let's say our average travel that we spend, I know some of you do a lot more, some of you do less, but our average there to work and back home is, say, let's just say an average of an hour and a half. That's 7.5 hours in our week. So that brings us down to 71.5 hours. Then statistics tell you and I that we together spend an average of 17 hours scrolling our social media. An average of 17. So that leaves us with 54.5 hours left. 54.5 hours. Looking at it, wrong sign. There. That is our, right there, that is our 54.5 hours. 54.5 hours left in our week. Sometimes we go, man, where's the time go in our day, in our week? Practice for kids, right? Handball for Aiden. Job searching, right, Soren? You got to find a job. Rena, going to, you know, you're going to school, but it's, you got job too. So you got school and a job. So sometimes there's more hours than that. Rasmus, maybe you got to go meet with clients during your week, right? Paulina, you're out walking dogs. Yeah. Sometimes in our life, in our hours per week, we're going, okay, we got to take kids to a doctor's appointment, right, Sherry? We got the barn mushka. We got to go visit Bia, right? Barn Vord Central. We got to go those places, right? Yeah, Bjorn? Yeah, I know waiting at the doctor is like 6 hours. That's a lot. So that reduces if we got to go 2 times in a week, that's 12 hours. We're really cutting it out. But sometimes with our 54.5 hours left, we got practice for our kids or maybe ourselves because we're involved in some kind of activity or sport. Then we got to make dinner. We got to make breakfast. We got to shower. Some of us. We got to go buy groceries. Or at least we gotta get online and pick our groceries and then have them delivered to us. We gotta clean our house. Or we need to set up someone to come clean our house. We gotta see our friends, right? We gotta keep our social life going. Not just social media, but we gotta actually see someone on another side of the screen. Who likes to work out? I like to, but I don't. So we gotta work out. We got to watch the latest series that's out on our streaming device. Or just, we got to go see a movie. Hey, let's go on a date, hon. Let's go catch a movie and go have some dinner. This is my favorite. We got to catch a game. English Premier League. I don't know what that is. American football. Yeah, the playoffs. Baseball's coming up soon. Basketball's right now. Handball. You know, World Cup, we have all kinds of activities. Rugby, we got rugby practice. There's all kinds of things that fill up those 54.5 hours, right? And by the time we get to Saturday evening, it's like, what did I do this week? I know I slept. I know I went to work and I sat on the train and I had some food. What else did I do? Oh yeah, I forgot about Jesus. I forgot about Jesus. Where's my Jesus in this? Craig Rochelle says this as well. If you want to be fully devoted to Jesus, it is never going to be accidental. It is never going to be accidental. Oftentimes, we look at our schedule and go, okay, You know, my foster kid has football practice on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and so we need to plan our dinner so he can have food beforehand. We plan our life around so many other things, and then we just go, oh yeah, Jesus, here's what I got left over. Today I got 10 minutes left on a Saturday night. It is 11 o'clock. I'm getting ready for bed. I forgot to hang out with you. Just Jesus, you got 10 minutes. It'll probably end up being 5 because I'll fall asleep. But you got 10, right? That's what we often end up doing. So today we're going to have to pre-decide. Because why? Why? Why do we need to do that? Because I will seek first the one who matters most, because I'm devoted to Jesus. So what does it mean pre-deciding to be devoted? John 15:4 tells us this, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself that must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So guess what? Jesus is the vine and I am the branch. Say, Jesus is the vine. I am the branch. Jesus is the vine. I am the branch. The branch has to be connected to the vine. You don't have to do that one. But thank you, though. Thank you for leaning in. For me, this metaphor and picture of vine and branches doesn't really suit me well because I'm not a grape guy. I'm a tree guy. So Jesus is the tree trunk, and I am the branch. I, as the branch, have to be a part of the trunk of the tree or the vine. Why? Because the trunk of the vine get the nutrients. They give the nutrients to the branch. So then the branch can have the little buds. Woo! You know, we're coming up with Kungsträdgården is going to be white or pink or whatever color it is. Cherry blossom row, right? But guess what? If I were to go over there and I would take a branch from my apple tree, I could splice it into that tree. The cherry blossom tree, I could splice it in there and get an apple on a cherry blossom tree. Because the branch is in the roots or in the trunk of the tree. It's connected. It's grafted in. It's the same idea, same principle. We as branches have to be a part of Jesus if we expect to bear fruit. Several weeks ago, Angela talked about this, about abiding in Christ. Because the branch is connected. So being connected allows us to bear spiritual fruit. What is that spiritual fruit? Well, great question. Galatians 5:22 tells us this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many of you sometimes go, man, I wish I had more joy in my life. I wish I had more patience for my kids. I wish I was nicer at work. I wish I was more faithful in what I was supposed to do, more self-control. Guess what? If you want these fruits, guess what we need to do? We got to get into the vine because Jesus is the vine and I am the branch. And if I want to bear fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, I need to be connected to the vine. I need to be connected. And guess what, church? Going back to our original conversation of this morning, when we're connected to the vine, your life and my life starts to be full of what really matters. If you feel empty this morning, get connected. If you feel like there's nothing left in life, get connected. Because when you're connected to Jesus, your light, your life will become full of love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Isn't that a life that's worth living? Isn't a life full of those fruits a life that makes you wake up in the morning and go, man, I'm glad that Jesus gave me more air today to live this life because I have joy in the morning. I have love filling up inside of my heart. I have kindness towards other humans even though they don't deserve it. I have self-control to speak kindness to my kids and to be patient with my kids. I have these things. Again, John 15:4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. All right, so looking at this verse, everyone, what is the most common word in this verse? What is it? Remain. Remain. That Greek word for remain is meno. Now, I just watched Big Fat Greek Wedding, so I went to go, the Greek root, but that wasn't a very good one. The Greek root for any word, the Greek word for remain is meno, M-E-N-O. It means to abide, to dwell, to live in. This means not a, I have to do my Bible. I have to go to church. I have to be a part of a small group. I have to please God. No, it means to be fully devoted. I am devoted to the one who matters most. So I will seek first the one who matters most. Branches need the vine. You and I need Jesus in order to bear these fruits that he has for us. Because if we're not connected, we are dead. Now I truly understand this, because the house that we're renting has a little tiny greenhouse and they have grapes, red and green grapes. And they said, hey, just make sure if whenever you're done with eating the grapes, you cut out all the last of the grapes, because otherwise it's going to be a fuzz bucket inside of that greenhouse. And it got that way a little bit, because some of them were really hidden. But I went in there and tried to cut things, cut all these little, the package, the bundles of grapes. There was a lot of grapes. But I accidentally cut a main vine. And guess what happened? It died. I know, Bjorn, I know, I couldn't believe it. It died. If we're not connected to the source of nutrients, we die. We may be alive, but we feel dead inside. We have to be connected. We have to be intentional. So, how do we stay connected, right? Because most of us, if we've grown up in church or we've been around church for at least a year, we've all heard that we need to be with Jesus, right? We've all heard that. So how are we going to be with Jesus? Well, today we are going to pre-decide a time. We're going to pre-decide a place, and we're going to pre-decide a plan. Time, place, and plan. Three easy steps, right? Three easy things to do. So first, we're going to pre-decide a time. It could be before so we're going to meet with Jesus. So before, when are we going to meet with Jesus? We need to pre-decide what time of the day are we going to meet with Jesus? Now, some of you have a different kind of work schedules. Some are morning, some are night people. Yes, the Bible talks a lot about meeting early in the morning with Jesus. Let's just be honest. Some days I can't get up past 6:30, get up before 6:30 when I really needed to get up at 5:30. Okay, but I'm going to pre-decide when am I meeting with Jesus? Am I going to do it before in the morning, before everybody else in my house wakes up? Is it going to be my lunch hour? Am I going to be with Jesus at lunch? Or is it in the evening at some point? After I've put my kids to bed, I have this surge of energy. That's when I will. Or before everybody gets home from work, I have like 30 minutes. That's my Jesus time. But predetermine the time when we will intentionally seek the Lord through the Word. Because we all know we're going to take our 160 hours and we're going to put in time for sleep. Maybe not as much as we want, but we will sleep. And we're going to put in time for work because we have to. But if we really honestly think about it, we have to be with Jesus. Because if we're not with Jesus, we're going to die on the inside. So we have to intentionally pre-decide when are we going to do it. Because any personal trainer will tell you, you need to have a plan. When are you going to the gym? When are you going to be here? Because that's the first battle. This is when I'm going to get there. Because then your mind starts going, oh, an hour before, I need to make sure, is my bag ready? So when are we going to meet with Jesus? When are you going to do it? When am I going to do it? So we need to pre-decide our time. Let's pre-decide our place. We need a regular place to meet with Jesus. Just like you have a regular place to go for work, during the pandemic, most of us had a regular spot in our home we were working from. I know for me, I work from home. I need a regular spot that is away from the kitchen, because the fridge is there and dirty dishes are there. I need a place away from my bed, because my pillow is there. I need a place away from the TV area, because there's a series there. I need a place away from the laundry room, because there's dirty clothes there, right? I need a place specifically away from those things that would distract me from my work. Because sometimes, let's be honest, I'm very easily distracted. So for my work, I set a place. I'm going to my office upstairs. I'm shutting the door. I'm going to be working. Because that's where I'm pre-decided, where I will get some work done. So we need the same thing. Where are we meeting with Jesus? Where are you going to meet with Jesus? You may not always be there every single day, because some days I go to the office over at Olsteen's Garten. I go there, but not every day. Where are you going to meet with Jesus? Is it your table in the kitchen so you have your cup of coffee with you? Is it a favorite chair that you want to sit in to do your Bible reading at? Do you want to take your Bible with you and you're going to do a walk every single day, reading or listening to the Bible, and you're going to make a walk every single day, the same loop, so you can meet with Jesus on that loop? Where are you going to meet Jesus? What time and where? And the last is, what's your plan? What are you going to do? Well, we got to get into the Word. So up here, on the left side, the Bible one, that's a Bible plan that you can be a part of that some of us in the church are going through. It's a YouVersion Bible plan, reading the Bible throughout the year. It's a great plan. I love it. I enjoy it. It brings from the Old Testament, New Testament, and there's a great devotional with it. And guess what? There's a guy that'll read it for you. Yeah. If you're not reading the Bible, if you don't have a plan, join us. Or guess what? Find another plan in the YouVersion app. There's all kinds of plans in there. From being married to being single, from raising kids to not having kids, from joy and sadness to financial freedom to I'm a guy or I'm a girl. There's all kinds of plans for whatever thing that you want in your life. But get into something. Have a plan. Then what else are you going to do? Are you going to journal? Are you going to make notes? I'm terrible at this, but I know I need to get better. I need to be writing down what is God speaking and saying to me. I would encourage you, don't just have a Bible or an electronic, but have a place that you can make notes. What is God saying to you? What is God speaking to you? What is the scripture saying to you? Because guess what? You shouldn't just take my word for every single Sunday. Get into the Word of God. What is God saying to you? Because guess what? If you love Jesus and you've brought him into your life as your Savior, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. God is with you. And this is his word, not mine. So guess what? He will tell you what it is. Thank you, Bjorn. Wow. God will speak to you. You don't need a pastor to tell you everything. You don't need the evangelist on YouTube to tell you everything. God will speak to you through his word. Are you going to have a worship song? Again, there's a QR code up there. That's our link tree. It has a lot of things, but on the top of it is a playlist that we for our church have on Spotify of our worship songs. Do you need a worship song to help you focus and pray? There's some songs right there for you. Jump on Spotify. Stockholm Community Church Worship List, I think is what it's called. Yes, thank you, Megan. As she just said and reminded us, it is continuously updated. Because if we're done singing a song or we're not singing a song for a while, it's not going to be on our list. But if they are getting ready to introduce a new song, guess what? It's going to be on the list. Why? Because we want you to be involved in worship. Because you're not just here to be entertained on a Sunday morning through what I say and through what they sing up here. You're to be involved. You're to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're to lift your hands in a sign of surrender saying, God, I give you all of myself and I lift my hands to you and I lift my voice to you to let you know that you're a good God. Because if I can scream at the television because the guys on the TV playing that game are doing something stupid, then I can lift my hands and say, God, I think you're great. Can't you? Can't you? I mean, I can dance in my kitchen when I'm making dinner because I got a playlist going on that makes me bop my head up and down and have some fun. But if I can't have fun with Jesus in worshiping him and using my body to just say, yes, Lord, I love you, God, you're amazing and great, then I'm just stale. I'm day-old bread. Come on, church. Let's get ourselves involved in who he is and what he has done for us. We can at least lift our hands. We can at least clap our hands. Some of you may not be into the swaying like I am. Some of you may be like this more, and that's okay. But we got to get involved, and we got to worship the Lord. I know I'm not speaking right English. Yes, it's right American. Church, when we take our hours and we boil it down to having our 54 and a half hours left, how much of that is for Jesus? How much is it for Jesus? There's been some days where I'm like, okay, I tithe 10% of my finances, I should tithe 10% of my time. I need to give God 16.8 hours a week. That's over 2 hours a day. I was telling Krista the other day, there are pastors in India that on average give 14 hours of prayer every single week for their church. That's the average. Guess what the lowest average is per week? 7. These guys are working, and gals are working full time. And they're praying. The lowest person was praying 1 hour a day on average. Guess what the most in a week? 35 hours. 7 hours a day of prayer. And yet I go, it's hard to give 2. It's hard to give 30 minutes. But I'm going to predetermine this year that I'm giving more of my time to Jesus on a daily basis than just 10 minutes. Because he is worth so much more of my time. So practically, again, how are we doing that? How are we going to be devoted to Jesus more? We're going to pre-decide a time. Everybody say time. We're going to pre-decide a place. Everybody say place. We're going to pre-decide a plan. Everybody say plan. Those are the things that we're going to do. And it's amazing, as we spend more time with Jesus, what he does. As we start spending more time with him, we hear his voice clearer and clearer. Our hearts begin to align with who he is. We create a posture and a mindset and a mode of seeking Jesus first. In those processes, he also then begins to convict us of the things that we have said or do that are wrong, things we shouldn't do. You start becoming more of a nice person, a loving and generous individual. You start to have joy. And then he also starts saying, hey, say this to that person. It's what we call, he gives you words to say over someone else. to speak into life into someone else. Because why? Because God no longer gets the leftovers. He gets the priority for your life. You will never, ever, 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 ever accidentally live a life fully devoted to Jesus. You have to be intentional. We're going to predecide because of who he is, because he matters, that he doesn't get what is last, that he doesn't get what is left over or what is easy. Church, there will be resistance. There will be distractions. There will be reasons to quit. But this morning, you and I are going to predecide that I am devoted to Jesus. So here's, I've gone long this morning. Here's the two things that I hope you walk away with. One, I hope that you will intentionally choose to spend time with Jesus. I hope you intentionally do it. Don't just let it be an accident. Intentionally choose. And that number two, you will predecide the time, place, and the plan. So this morning, what I want to do in response to this is simple and practical. The end of this talk was practical, so we're going to just be practical. You have a card on your seat, or you have an electronic device in your hands. I want you to now take some time with Jesus and say, all right, Lord, here's my time, here's my place, and here's my plan. So Lucas, if we can just throw on some music. We're going to take about 60 seconds because we don't need to dive into it too much. We don't need to precipitate over what is it going to be, but we just need to make a plan of action. So let's just take 60 seconds. Write down either on the note card or in your device, when are you going to meet with Jesus? Where are you going to meet with Jesus? And what is your plan? What are you going to do in that time? The last thing that I want to ask you to do is Acts chapter 2 said that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. So we got the teachings through the word. We got the prayer down. Then the fellowship. So in this, we've listed our time, place, and our plan. I want you to send it to someone and say, please help me stay on track with this. I'm going to follow Jesus and be close to him. This is how I'm going to do it. Can you help me? Can you just ask me a few days a week, are you sticking to the plan, Brandon? Have you done what you told me you're going to do? Because we need the accountability. More people have success going to the gym because there's a personal trainer, someone to keep themselves accountable than they do by themselves, or if they have a buddy or a partner to go with. They're more successful because they have somebody with them doing the same journey. So church, we need to partner up. I encourage you to partner up. I'm not going to force you, but I want you to partner up. Find somebody outside of your family, your household, that say, hey, help me out in this. I want to be intentional about getting closer to Jesus. So I encourage you, take that plan that you, the what you just did, your time, place, and plan, and send it to them and ask them to hold you accountable. Father God, I come to you this morning, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you long to be close to me, that you long to be close to everyone in this church. Lord, and your word says that we should draw close to you. And you want it so much out of us. But yet you are a good father and so good, in fact, that you're not going to lord it and hold it over our heads and beat us over the heads until we actually do it. But you just encourage us and say, come spend time with me. Come spend time with me. You allow us to make that choice. Help us, Lord. God, this morning, I want to be intentional to give more of my time, to give it to you, not to just give you leftovers and accidentally slip into that time. But God, I want to intentionally set up time to be with you every day so I can give you my best. Because you deserve my best. Be with us, Lord, as we go about this week, our 168 hours, that we are intentional with that time of being with you. Because, Lord, the reality is as we spend some time with you on a daily basis, we end up carrying you around with us all throughout the day. We are more aware of who you are and what you are doing in and around us. So in a byproduct, setting aside some time every day specifically ends up making us more with you throughout the day. What a great byproduct of that. So thank you, God. Thank you, you are with us. Lord, we also in this moment just want to lift up the needs of the folks that are here in the church. God, I know so many are dealing with health things and that there are several that are in a transition with their employment. Whether they've just been let go or they're trying to find a new job or they're wanting to start a business. Holy Spirit, I pray for your wisdom. I pray for your understanding. I pray for your direction in these areas for these individuals. God, that you would provide what is needed. That the next opportunity would not just be sufficient, but that it would be an overflow and an abundance, because in that moment, you just want to show and shower your love and favor and grace upon your child. So Lord, I just pray for favor in this employment area. God, that you would release the unmerited, undeserved favor over your children, that the clients would come in if they're starting a business, that the business ideas would just start flowing if that's the direction that they're trying to find. God, if it's finding the right office to be a part of, Lord, that you would bring the job to their inbox that they would apply for, that your spirit would say, this is the one for you, my child. And that we would follow your voice in that. Lord, we also pray for the student movement that is taking place in Ukraine as they are gathering together. Lord, we just ask that you would protect them as they are studying and diving deeper into who you are through the book of Mark. Lord, you would wrap your arms around them, protect them from the war that is taking place, protect the staff from all that is happening, God, that your presence would saturate the place that they are at so they can know you more and be a light in a dark situation. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. God, continue to be with us in the next 150 some odd hours that we have remaining this week. May you go before us. May you be beside us. May you be behind us, leading and guiding and supporting and encouraging us as we walk along the way. We love you, Jesus. God, I ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. And God, church, I just encourage you, be intentional. Don't let the moment slip for you to plan your life with Jesus. Don't let it slip. Don't forget your kids this morning if you brought kids. Have a great week, everyone. Why? Because here at Stockholm Community Church, we believe Sundays here make Mondays better. Have a great week.